It is really good to be with you this morning. I'm well aware of the First Baptist Church in Bloomfield for years. Some of you are old enough to remember the camping days when over at the old IBA camp, and we spent some great times there. I've got a kind of a special place in my heart for Bloomfield Baptist Church because you have had some great pastors. Now, hopefully all your pastors have been great, but I served on region staff with Wayne Brown, and he was a good friend. And I think Wayne was here when you built the sanctuary. Was that right? I think that was right. Brent Meyer was my pastor at Big Walnut Baptist Church before he came here. And while Brent was here, you built the Family Life Center, I think, or finished it up maybe or something. I don't know. And then I've known Nathan since he was 10 years old. He started coming to camp, and we live in the same county, so I got to see him grow up, basically. He's the same age as my son. So they both ran cross country, and we used to see each other a lot in that way. So this is a really a special congregation in my heart. So I'm glad to be with you this morning to share in this time with you. As John said, I'm unemployed. I retired at the end of 2015, and my wife and I have been enjoying retirement. You know, on most Sunday mornings, we get up and go to church together, which is something we hadn't done for about 26 years. So it's good to do that and serve in my home church and a Big Walnut Baptist Church and to be with the folks, good folks there. So it's really good to be with you. I think Nathan called me to come today because he read in the newsletter that I'm currently acting executive minister for American Baptist Churches of Indiana. Susie Ford, Reverend Susie Ford, is on sabbatical for 3 months, and so they asked me to pinch hit, if you will. So that's what I'm doing right now. And so Nathan wanted to score some points by having the executive minister come. You know, he could put that on his resume. But it's like I said, it's always a joy to come and be with you here. Well, I'll say just a little bit more about some of our region life as we get into the body of the sermon. Let me begin by sharing a passage of Scripture when you retire, strange things happen to you. You know that, Bill? Yeah. My hearing went completely bazonkers after I retired. So I'm deaf in one ear and can't hear out of the other one, literally. So I wear hearing aids. So if I seem to ignore you, please don't take it personally. I probably didn't hear you. But it feels like I'm a little hot. Am I too loud? Or is it just me? Because I've got hearing aids. Well, okay. All right. And I don't want to, you know, scare anybody. All right. In the 12th chapter of Romans, beginning in the 9th verse, after writing some of the most eloquent passages of Scripture that we have in the early chapters of Romans, Paul writes these words, beginning in the 9th verse. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Mark Twain said, "It's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do understand." In these closing chapters of the book of Romans, like I said, where Paul has laid out the plan of salvation and his understanding of that to the church in Rome. In fact, some people have called this Paul's systematic theology. It's so connected and thorough. But in these closing chapters, he writes in very plain words, what does it mean to be the church? What does it mean to live as a follower of Christ? He writes in very plain words. In fact, we might say that as Paul writes these clear words, he's saying this is what it looks like when a person is caught in the act of being the church. Now, the Greek word for church, ekklesia, the word that's translated church in the New Testament, isn't really a word at all. It's a compound word. It's two words. It's ek and klesia. And it means ek out of, and klesia is a calling. So it's literally a calling out of. And Paul talks about how we are called out of the world into being of the church. Jesus said much the same thing when he was praying for his disciples in the 17th chapter of John. So Paul understands that the church is called by God to be different than the world, to be called out of the world. Now, this way of understanding the church was a new concept. Other organizations and groups, and still today, other organizations and groups, have rules and laws that are very rigid. If you want to be a part of this group, you will do this and this and this. The church is not defined by static rules, but rather by one that Paul says elsewhere, love your neighbor as yourself. I think he's quoting Jesus, who was also quoting the Old Testament. So Paul writes that love does no wrong to its neighbor. Love is the complete fulfilling of the law, he says. So love, the rule of love, is not static. It's alive, it's organic, it's in the relationship that we have with one another. Love desires the best for the other person. It's not love of self, it's love of your neighbor. So in this passage, Paul marks that out. Let love be genuine. Let it be real. Let it be honest. Let it have integrity. In 1 John, it's stated very clearly, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Continuing in verse 19 of the fourth chapter of 1 John, we love because God first loved us. We love because God first loved us. We can't follow these actions that Paul is describing here unless we understand that God first loved us. When Paul says to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not repay anyone evil for evil, live peaceably with all, don't avenge yourselves, do not try to overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul understands that that's not possible unless we first realize that God loves us, unless we first accept God's love for us through Jesus Christ. In the world, the rule is an eye for an eye. But in the church, we do not seek revenge. In the world, the rule is look out for number one. What's in it for me? What's going to put me up on that ladder? But in the church, it's love your neighbor as you love yourself. In the world, the rule is condemnation for wrongdoings. You deserve punishment. But in the church, we don't judge one another. In the world, the rule is protect your assets. Keep your stuff for yourself. But in the church, we contribute to the needs of all. When we do these things, we are caught in the act of being the church. It occurs to me that we use the word church as a noun, and most of the time it is, you know. We often say, I'm going to church, and we mean the building. I'm going to church. Or sometimes we say, I've been to church, meaning maybe a worship service, which is actually closer to the truth, I think, because it goes back to, you remember that we used to sing this at camp, I think. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. The church is the body of Christ, the community of believers. And so when we say we're going to church, it's not a place. It's a community. It's an experience. So church is, I think it's a verb. You know, we're doing church, you know. We're doing church when we worship. We're doing church when we pray. We're doing church when we're serving and we're helping others. We're doing church when we're sharing God's love with those who don't know that God loves them. Doing church. I think it's a verb, you know. We ought to use it as a verb. It's action. It's motion. It's movement. It's not a building sitting on a corner someplace. I got a few examples of this morning that really excite me. Some of you know Mark Thompson at First Baptist Brazil, and I think, has he been here? Or I know there's Nathan knows him, and there's been some talk, but anyway, First Baptist Brazil, Indiana. Is a little town, not far from me, actually. And First Baptist Church, like a lot of First Baptist churches, used to be the church to go to, you know? The business people and the bankers and the lawyers and people in town that were important belonged to the First Baptist Church, you know? And then over the years, less and less of those folks belonged, and in fact, less and less people belonged. It got to be a kind of an empty thing. And Mark Thompson came to be pastor. And I'm not putting all this on Mark. I think Mark is just following what Jesus called him to do there. But he said, we need to get outside of these walls. We're not the church here. We're the church there. And so they began to walk around in their community. And two blocks from their church, they found houses, they found people living in houses without windows and doors, let alone running water and electricity. They found children living and sleeping on the floor or maybe a mattress on the floor in those kinds of houses. And they began to reach out to those folks and to offer food and clothing and help to get them on their feet and connect them with places that would help them. Sometimes they needed to be connected with drug recovery programs. Sometimes they just needed to be connected with programs like, we use the word food stamps, but you know, to find where they could get what they needed. But they began to reach out to those folks because those were the people God was calling them to share God's love with. And as they did that, they began to realize there's all kinds of needs here, and they began to offer all kinds of things. And as they did that, more and more people began to understand that God loves them. And so now when you visit First Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana, it looks very different. You don't see very many coats and ties, as you in most of our churches, I guess you don't. But you also see a lot of folks that have very simple clothes, and sometimes, you know, maybe not real great clothes on. They have tattoos up their arms and places on their bodies. They stand up sometimes and praise the Lord, you know. When in the old First Baptist, that would have been unthinkable that somebody would act that way. And these folks that live in that community are now coming to be a part of that church community, that community of love. And they're reaching out to those people around them. This past summer, this has taken a while, but this past summer, out of the First Baptist Church basement, in cooperation with other groups in the community, I should say, but out of the church, First Baptist Church basement, 600 meals a day went out into the community to feed children in that community through the summer feeding program. Out of the first, many of those were First Baptist Church volunteers, but they're excited. The story that Mark loves to tell is the First Presbyterian Church was discussing a program that they thought would help unwed mothers so they could finish their education. And they were talking about it, and they said, "Let's go talk to First Baptist. They'll support anything for the community." How's that for a recommendation? You know, they have a name in that community. That's doing church. A few weeks ago, I learned about this situation. Trader Baker's Flea Market in Madison, Indiana. You probably, some of you at least, know about flea markets, and you like to wander them. You like to, maybe you're even into that, and you buy and sell and trade and whatever. Rod Anderson does that. That's what he does for a living. He does that kind of thing. And at the Trader Baker in Madison Flea Market in Madison, Indiana, Rod would just talk to people, and he would share his faith. He'd say, "God loves you. Have a great day. Listen to people. Pray with people." He just shared his faith. And as he did that, people said, could we have a Bible study here at Trader Baker's? At the flea market. And so they started a Bible study. And after studying the Bible a while, and Rod, his pastor, Rod's not a pastor, okay, I should say that. Rod's not a pastor, okay. He's a layman. But he got his pastor to come and help him a little bit with that. And as he was sharing in the Bible study, they said, could we have a worship service here? Because these were people who either had been hurt by the church or had a bad experience with the church or just didn't feel like they could go into a church building. And so now they have a community of people. And Rod says, "I don't know where this is going," you know, but God's in charge of it. And so he's sharing God's love with people that thought they were beyond God's love, that God's love wasn't for them. Trader Baker's Flea Market. That's doing church. Well, my experience over the years, and certainly now as I look at them, the American Baptist Churches of Indiana is about providing resources to help congregations do church. Not be church, but do church. Through things like missional church, resources like missional church, Church Leadership Institute, Teaching Church Initiative, Vision Discernment Retreats, and even new church planting. the region works to empower congregations to live into the purpose that Christ has for them so that they might be caught in the act of being the church. So what is God calling First Baptist Bloomfield to do and be? I don't know, but God knows. And so I believe that as a church congregation, you have to seek to discover what God is calling you to do in this community, in this place, in this world. You're going to be have a presence in the Apple Blossom, Apple Festival. You're going to be out there with the people and sharing, hopefully sharing God's love with them. Where is God calling you to do? You have to look inward and upward to see what God is calling the church to do. I believe we look inward when we spend time looking at God's word. When we study God's word together, when we spend time each day in God's word and reflect on what's God calling me to do. God still speaks to us today through the word, God's word. So that's to look inward. We have to look upward in a prayer. Come to that time with a prayerful attitude, asking God to speak to us and show us what he's calling us to do. We have to spend time talking and sharing with one another. You might see something, you might see a need, you might have an idea, we got to talk to one another. What about this? I have a burden on my heart for this because I believe God chooses those things that touch our hearts. We could do a lot of things in the world, but God has a very special thing for First Baptist Church. And I believe that as you look upward and inward, God will reveal to you that unique purpose for First Baptist Church in Bloomfield. I don't know what that is, but God does. I know this. Jesus wants to live in you. American Baptist Churches USA says we are the hands and feet of Christ. I like that. We are the hands and feet of Christ. Jesus wants to live in you. Jesus wants to share his love for the world through you so that all may come to know of God's redeeming love. It starts with us. We have to receive God's love through Jesus Christ into our heart. We have to believe that God loves me, that Jesus died for me. Starts with me. But that's just a beginning. Then it flows through us out into the people around us. And collectively as a church, we it flows out of this congregation into this community and into this world so that all may come to know of God's redeeming love. When we do that, we will be caught in the act of being God's church for the world today. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for making that love known to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for how when we open our lives to your love and receive the forgiveness that we need, we are empowered by your Spirit to share that love with all those around us. Lord, I thank you for First Baptist Church in Bloomfield. Thank you for the ministry and the service that they do in this community. And I pray your blessing upon them. And may you continue to lead them. And may they be open to your leading to serve you and to share your love so that all in this community might know of your great love for them. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who not only came to show us your love, but died and rose again to be our Savior and Lord. Amen. Bill, you want to come and lead us as we share together in our closing hymn? May we open our hearts to the love that God has for us, and may we be inspired to go forth to share that love with others.
It's not in the bulletin, but it's our closing hymn is page 441, Rescue the Perishing, page 441.
And now as we depart into the world, remember this, you don't take Jesus with you when you go. Jesus is already there. Go and meet Jesus in the world. Share God's love with all you meet. And may God's blessing and peace be upon you now and always. Amen.